Welcome to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. Left Out presents news and opinions from a perspective left out of the mainstream media. I'm Robert Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
Today's program is being produced by Molly Meyer. Listeners are welcome to call us at 412-621-WRCT 9728 or on campus 89728. Or we'll also monitor electronic mail by sending mail to Bob at leftout.info.
So this is the first show of the fall semester.
Yeah, here we go.
And we're again alternating with Rust Belt Radio, which also plays on Tuesdays at 6 p.m., alternating with us. Rust Belt Radio is an independent media program. So there's a couple of announcements of upcoming lectures, which I think our listeners should all be interested in. First one is by Greg Thielman, who is the former State Department Intelligence Chief. Under the Bush administration, he quit when things started going wrong. What he felt things were going wrong. He's giving a talk called "How We Got It Wrong in Iraq," and it's on Monday, September 20th, at 7 p.m. at the University of Pittsburgh Law School, at the Teplitz Memorial Classroom, room G26. You go to our website, which is leftout.info. Of course, you can find all the information about it. Another talk next week at CMU will be given by David Dill, entitled The Battle for Accountability in Election Systems. And that will be on Wednesday, September 22nd at 4 p.m. in McConomy Auditorium on the CMU campus. Dill is the founder of an organization called VerifiedVoting.org. He has a Ph.D. from CMU, and he's currently a professor of computer science at Stanford. He's going to talk about electronic voting systems and the problems that he sees with the current direction things are going and the whole controversy surrounding voting systems. We've had David Dill as a guest on Left Out.
Yeah, David was a guest last semester on Left Out talking about verified voting.
Again, there's a link on the leftout.info page to more information about Professor Dill's talk. So the first segment of our program, we have a couple of guests here in the studio. Rafael Porto and Jeff Phillips, who recently returned from the protests in New York. So thank you for joining us on Left Out.
Yeah, thanks for having us on the program.
So Rafael is a second-year grad student in the High Energy Group in the physics department at CMU, and Rafael is going to be starting graduate school next year in neuroscience programs.
Jeff.
Jeff is. Anyway, so both of you were at the protest in New York about 2 weeks ago for the Republican convention.
Yeah, that's correct.
So can you tell us?
So did you go with a group of people, or tell us about going to the convention? And tell us what was up.
Well, we went up there not as part of an organized group, but just with a few friends. We stayed with a friend in Jersey City and went in. For the first, our first appearance in the city was on Sunday, where we participated in the United for Peace and Justice march, which was probably the major event of the week.
Okay.
Yes, my basic idea was actually to go to visit the city. I joined them because I thought it would be a huge event that I couldn't miss.
Because you're not a Native American?
No, I'm from South America. Actually. I'm from Uruguay. So.
Okay.
I went to see the city to join something that was, it was amazing actually to experience.
It was an amazing experience? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Too much, and 500,000 persons gathering together peacefully protesting against the war and everything.
Yeah, and this was a march that had no place to go to meet with speeches and things like that. It was just a march through the city.
Yeah, that's correct.
Tell us about that.
The march is not actually the point at which we were arrested, but it began in the morning around 11:30, and it went for, I believe, 16 blocks or so. It started around 14th Street, and I guess it went up to Madison Square Gardens and ended just beyond that. That's where we left the march anyway.
Yeah, it lasted like 4 or 5 hours, maybe more. Uh-huh. We quit at 4, but it kept going on, so it was a huge concentration of people.
Yeah, oh, there were a ton of people. From any one vantage point, you could see neither the head nor the tail of the march.
I see, so it was completely filled up the street.
Yeah.
So the idea was to march from, what, Union Square up to Madison Square Garden? And so you were part of that march. So tell us what your impressions were of the march. So were people out of control? Were there anarchists who were taking over and trying to destroy the country, or what?
No, we didn't see anything like that. It was really peaceful. I mean, it was amazing because it was a really hot day, incredibly hot, but people kept quiet, and it was a lot of artistic demonstration around, people with a lot of very, with signs that were very creative, some signs that, I mean, it was really peaceful. Nothing went wrong. The only thing that we get to know that somebody turned a puppet, that a dragon that they made of paper on fire, but that was just the only thing that we actually know that happened, that it was, that kept the march.
So you were in the march and walked for a couple of hours or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened after that?
After that, the march pretty much disbanded, I guess, and people went their separate ways. We ourselves went with about four other friends to Bryant Park, just a little bit north of that, and we...
That's on 42nd Street.
Right. We took a break there. I guess we were a bit knackered after the march, and we had a general plan to head up to Central Park after that and to pass through Times Square along the way.
You guys got arrested eventually.
So you got arrested.
Was it on the same on Sunday?
Yes.
Completely unrelated to any kind of protest.
This happened when we went on to Times Square, actually. And there, of course, we were on Broadway in the theater district. And there were rumors going around, and there was some literature saying that protesters wanted to organize their... to greet Republican delegates as they were
going into the theater.
Yeah, and we kind of wanted to see what that was about. And as I said, we were thinking of continuing on to Central Park from there. So we passed by and found this awesome police presence in Times Square at the time we arrived, which is around 5 in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by that time I was a tourist, right? I was just walking around visiting the city, my first time in New York. Going to Times Square, right? A famous place.
Right.
So nothing happened until we saw all this police coming. And, well, we also get to know that there was a protest around the kissing thing or something like that, where people kissing each other on the street. That was also gathering a lot of police officers around the Times Square.
People were kissing each other?
Yeah. That
it was a gay and lesbian group named Queer Fist had organized a public kiss-in, which was actually, I think, going on a couple of blocks to the east. But a large group of police had gathered right around Broadway and 45th, I think blocking off one of the side streets should these... participants in the kiss-in tried to escape as they were being hemmed in by police, and they eventually were in a great deal of them were arrested. We joined them not long afterwards, which that's the kernel of our story here. Basically, we were standing on the sidewalk watching the police and their movements. For some reason, I'm not sure of one guy who's a protester was dragged off the median by several police officers, and a lot of people in the crowd photographed that, as did I personally. We were standing on the west side of Broadway at this point, as I said, on the sidewalk, and a group of officers came from the center of the street and asked us to step further back on the sidewalk inside of a scaffolding, which was in front of the Marriott Hotel. And, you know, being compliant, we did. And seconds after that, lines of police officers formed, on three sides of us, penning us in. And they brought out this heavy orange plastic netting and told us that we were all under arrest for reasons which are still not clear to me.
Were you carrying any signs or anything like that, of chanting? No, nothing like that. You were just walking around like tourists?
I wasn't carrying any sign, no. I know that there were protesters inside that pen, but also passersby, also the cameras were there. I mean, a lot of people from the press, legal observers were just lodged there without any particular reason.
Right, yeah. I was carrying a sign from earlier in the day, carrying it mostly because it was left over from the march.
Yeah.
There, as for chanting, at the moment of the arrest, a lot of people started yelling at the cops and, you know, protesting the way they were handling the detainee. And so people did begin chanting then. But I wouldn't say that there was any sort of organized protest going on. And more importantly, I mean, there was no indication from the police that we were doing anything wrong. There was no request for dispersal. You know, we were on the sidewalk, so we certainly weren't obstructing.
So you were on the sidewalk to begin with.
That
was going to
happen. Yeah, all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the man they arrested was on the street. Was the street closed or open to traffic at that time?
I think it was open to traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was open to traffic, but it was getting quite congested because more and more police vans started arriving even before the arrest started occurring.
So it wasn't obvious to you what triggered the police to arrive, why that was happening?
No, but we did learn later that 2 hours earlier there had been a large number of arrests at that very same place.
Yeah, they did exactly the same thing.
And in fact, yeah, later on that evening, too, around 7:30, a few hours after we were arrested, it happened again there. So it seemed to be a favorite.
Yeah, there were many stories of people being arrested for no apparent reason, that's for sure. I heard it also downtown. People were in the village were arrested for no apparent reason.
We're talking to Rafael Porto and Jeff Phillips, who were arrested while visiting New York last week and protesting. This is Left Out on WRCT 88.3. You can give us a call at 412-621-9728. So let's continue with what happened next. Yeah. After they arrested you, what happened? Well, you guys were together, right? You were all in the same place.
Yeah, we were
same
together
place.
All the time. We were four of us.
I guess, there were five of us who were eventually penned in. One of our friends kind of saw the police forming these lines and slipped out between them. There's some really great footage of him on an indie media video.
We have a link to that on the website. Yeah. There's a link to a video that was taken of their arrest. I guess you're in it, apparently.
Yeah, we
are. You'll have to point yourself out to me.
Right.
Yeah, we will.
Our friend's mother was also in the pen with us when we were surrounded, and she was actually let go by the police.
Without reason either.
Yeah, I'm glad she was let go. It's good that she didn't have to go through this ordeal. But objectively speaking, she was doing no more and no less than we were.
Hmm. So what happened anyway? So they brought in this sort of orange fencing or netting, and then what did they do to you?
Yeah, they kept us there like for half an hour or 45 minutes without actually knowing what was going on. We inquired them, why were we being arrested, and nobody actually answered it. We hear something like we were stopping traffic, but we were all the time in the sidewalk, so that didn't make any sense. Indeed, they were stopping the traffic, and they didn't get arrested for it. So we were kept there for no particular reason for 45 minutes until they actually arrested us. So they picked a police officer that he didn't see us before, so he arrested us without actually knowing what was going on in that pen either. So it was kind of a funny story. We took some funny pictures with him, like trophies or something. They put these handcuffs, plastic handcuffs on us. They put all of us inside a bus. They took us into this place, Pier 57, where we spent the night.
So, how many were in the bus with you? Was it a big
20?
Bus full of people? Or
on our particular bus, there were about 20. There were probably about 40 people who were arrested with us. And that day, I think the total number of arrests in the city was around 300.
300, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they took you to Pier 57, which is basically a warehouse?
Yeah, it seems to be that. I was told that it's an old bus warehouse, and the floor was concrete. It was covered in this sort of petroleum residue, which makes me believe that it was indeed a bus warehouse. And inside there were these chain link enclosures, apparently new. The walls were about 20 feet tall, 20 feet tall, and they were topped with razor wire, which led a lot of people to call the place Guantanamo Bay or Guantanamo on the Hudson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you guys then had to stay there for quite a while. So they just threw you in, and then you just had to wait.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They didn't charge us of anything in that place. They just kept asking our names and directions like 5 times during the night. And we spent the night there. I mean, they spent the night together, basically.
And then when did they let you out?
Well, they were, yeah, during the night, they would come around periodically to transfer groups of people over to the central courthouse, taking maybe 20 people at a time or so. I'm not sure how many of us there were in Pier 57 at any one time, but probably 150 or so. So as luck would have it, we were brought to Pier 57 probably around 7 in the evening or so, and didn't get out of there until around 5 o'clock the next morning when we were brought over to 100 Center Street, which is the central booking.
Yeah, so then you're booked, and then you're arraigned right then and there? Or?
No. We were released. I mean, I was released at least at 3 or 4 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So we spent like quite a amount of time inside the house court as well. I mean, we passed through like 8 or 9 cells.
Yeah, we counted. All told, I think we
got managed to stay in about 9 cells.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We spent almost all the time together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, do you have anything else to say about?
So, what were you charged with? What were you charged with?
I was charged eventually with 2 counts of disorderly conduct and.
2 counts.
Yeah,
I think I have one.
I'm not sure why 2. I imagine it's so that later they can try and bargain with me and say we'll drop 1, but even though I think the correct total is 0. But disorderly conduct, I think with, and there was some elaboration there with intention to obstruct traffic.
Intention to obstruct. I see.
So is this whole thing is apparently a new police tactic that they had planned all along to just make these random mass arrests?
Yeah, so they have no intention of prosecuting you, do they?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
So
right.
What is it going to mean to you? What does it mean? Are you going to get deported or what?
That's a good question, actually. I got this, what's the name of this ACD?
Oh, yeah, the deal that many of us were offered was called an ACD, German for with contemplation for dismissal. Basically means that if you're not arrested within 6 months from that time, the case will be dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't have any charge against us. We didn't do anything. So basically, they can't do
anything. Sure they couldn't even identify you.
In my case, I pled not guilty, and so I have a next court date set, which is like a preliminary hearing. I have a feeling that the case will probably be dismissed at that time, but I don't know.
Yeah, probably so. And what about you? So you also pled not guilty? Or?
No. I had legal advice, and I said I'm not guilty, but I don't want to come back for a trial because I can't. I'm a student at Pittsburgh, and I think that she just wanted me to say that I didn't plan to go for a trial because she just told me, okay, I will let you out of here, and 5 minutes afterwards I was outside. I went before the judge like 30 seconds, and I saw my lawyer, and she said, you're free. So I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, Raphael's case is kind of ambiguous.
I see.
So
you've been arrested, but no charges were brought in.
Probably I got this, and my lawyer did everything for me.
Yeah,
and
I see.
And I had to stay quiet for 6 months. I don't know.
Okay, all right. So you probably have you have the ACD status, I guess.
Probably I do. Yeah.
I say, well, that's interesting. I'll be interested to see how it works out with fighting it.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably will have to show up and accuse you, you know. This will be the amusing thing, right? Well, someone is going to have to actually know who you are and sit there and pretend that they have, like, some specific charge against you.
As Raphael was saying before, and it's ironic, we were introduced to our arresting officer about half an hour after we were arrested.
Oh, right. So he didn't even see that what you had done.
He doesn't know anything.
No. Yeah. I wonder whether the police department has taken their own videotape of the situation and will try and introduce that as evidence But as we say, it probably will never come to
trial. Yeah, it seems like the whole thing is just a tactic
to intimidate
people,
get
them out of the way. I mean, now, so that was just the beginning of the convention. Then there were protests all week long, or, you know, the next 4 days, big protests, things happening all week
long. So were you around for that as
well? More arrests and everything.
We were not. We had to come back because we both study and work here.
And you didn't want to risk
had obligations.
And we spent one day in jail, too.
So you came back on Monday or something?
Tuesday, actually.
Tuesday,
yeah. Right. Uh-huh. But there certainly was a lot going on after that. I think it was the August 30th or 31st, which was the day of the big arrests that were... close to 1,000 people arrested on that day.
Yeah, it seemed like that was the whole idea, right? It was just going to round people up and arrest them without letting anything happen.
Do you think that was effective? Well, there wasn't the violence that they had in Seattle and in the Chicago 68 convention. And then
I didn't see anybody.
Or in Miami, those terrible, where the police were shooting people up with beanbags and other things.
And yet, I don't think that this violence ever comes by itself. I mean, I believe if the police accommodated the protests, that they would go off completely peacefully. And I don't think that there are many people who go there with the intention to cause, property damage or anything like that. I think it's... The violence occurs when the police start to push and people push back.
Well, I'm sure that's definitely a big part of it. That's for sure. But no, the thing that I objected to is that they were clearly trying to prevent there being any protests at all. They were disallowing a permit to have an assembly on Central Park. They're doing their best to kind of suppress it. And there was all this nonsense about showing disrespect for a sitting president. Since when is this like a crime or in the United States? I mean, what the hell is going on here? It's completely, completely terrible. Anyway, we're talking to Rafael Porto and Jeff Phillips, who were at the Republican National Convention week before last, and you're welcome to call us at 412-268-9728 or to send mail to bob@leftout.info. I guess we'll take a short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.